been to his churches before, but then we will continue. Here verses 1 is verse 12. Wherefore, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What a terrible, terrible condition. The Pharisee, the publican, the Sadducee, the Herodians, it doesn't make any difference. All have sinned. Okay, then, the other verse is verse 19. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And I have mentioned this before, and we'll mention it again as we do, but we do just a little bit before we go further, and that is, on these two men that we have read about, therefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. David, you could say, in sin did my mother conceive me. So it's coming down. Some church says that Mary, the mother of Christ, was not a sinner. Well, if she were not a sinner, then she could not have been conceived in sin. That means that the parents, going all the way to David, King David, would have been sinless. And this King David says, in sin did my mother conceive me. So therefore, Mary, as nice and as blessed as she was, a godly lady indeed, and such a wonderful godly lady she was a sinner. But then, verse 19, so by one of man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, as the Lord Jesus Christ shall many be made righteous. So you have these two men, Adam and the Lord Jesus Christ, and these two men hang the eternal destiny of every human being that ever lives on earth. From Adam on down, all the way, every single human being that lives on the earth, the eternal destiny of every human being comes down to one of these two men, Adam, Christ. Now, having said that, we are all born, as I mentioned, in Adam. All born in Adam. We are sinners by nature, but then we are sinners by practice. There's not a single person, there's no single person in the whole world who has not sinned himself, except the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're sinners. So then all evil followed upon the fall of Adam, our first father. Every evil, his nature became guilty and corrupted, and also that nature passed to his children. So Adam's one sin is described as transgression, was attended with the most dismal consequences. So the origin of moral evil comes from man and not from God. God created a perfect man, and he made a perfect woman, and they sinned. God had nothing to do with it. In
instead, God tried to prevent it. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, we don't not listen to God. We'd rather listen to the snake. So sin entered into the world. So,
and then, of course, death is the wages of sin. And that is the
temple of death. We all are going to die unless the Lord comes.
Spiritual death. If we don't get saved, we're going to go to hell.
Hell is eternal.
Get saved today.
So says the sign. And then, of course, death is spiritual and then eternal.
But, thank God,
of course, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we have heard this morning, through all the meetings, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior
of men.
The Savior of men.
So that on the cross, the blood of Christ was shed on our behalf, and we heard about that this morning, even in the great meeting, and then, of course, the Sunday school, how you have God and you have a sinner, and then, of course, the sinner is pleading for God's mercy. We all need God's mercy. We all need God's grace. By grace, are you saved through faith? We have nothing to do. There's nothing we can ever do to basically inherit the kingdom of God on our own power, as we saw in the case of the righteous Pharisee. Self-righteous, that is. So here the Lord Jesus Christ came, and then, of course, he died. He died for our sins. He died for our sins. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ died, and then, of course, he rose from the dead, and then he rose up to heaven. But then his disciples didn't leave everything in the Gospels, but then they took not only the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also they went on as God revealed to them more and more of the truth of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the apostles picked up from there, from the gospel, and then they went out. Well, the teaching was, of course, that we were justified through the shedding blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's in Romans 5, verse 9. And then we have redemption through his blood, Ephesians 1:7, Galatians 1:14. Colossians 1:14. And by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. That's in Hebrews. So you have the epistles picking up from the Gospels and developing and teaching us the wonderful privileges and what we have when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord. But then again, they also develop the destiny of those who are not saved. And of course, that is not pretty either. That is awful. But then our destiny is wonderful. 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 So, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So they keep going on and on. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Again, Romans 5. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. They go on and on and on about the wonderful, wonderful blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death. God had made him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a wonderful, wonderful grace that is. We are today accounted as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ is. But then, I touched on this also, that when God looks at believers today, he sees us found in Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. We are found in Christ Jesus. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Not only is Christ in us when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord, not only is the Holy Spirit in us, not only is God in us, but also we are placed in Christ, which is
my estimation, far, far better. And the reason is, if God, if the Lord Jesus Christ is residing in me, how much room am I giving him? There's such a thing as grieving the Holy Spirit. How would the Holy Spirit be grieved? Because I'm not completely obedient to the Holy Spirit, to his leadings. Not completely obedient to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But then when I am placed in the Lord Jesus Christ myself, then God sees me as he sees his Son, placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege that is, me placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation. We are righteous in his righteousness. I have touched on this. Well, there's none righteous, no, not one, and yet he's all righteous, and yet he became what we were, sinners, that we would become what we are not, and he is by nature righteous. His righteousness. What a wonderful thing. And then we are declared to be sons of God as his sonship. And this is what I'm going to hit on today, discuss in just a few minutes. We're heirs with him of his inheritance. Everything that God has promised his Son, we share that. Can you imagine the value of the salvation? To me, when I got saved, all I wanted to do is escape from hell. And that by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. I'm bound by the power of the devil and by sin. And I ask the Lord to come into my heart and save me. Loose me from the power of the devil. And he did. All I wanted to do is just become a child of God and escape hell. But then God said, oh, George, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that I am going to declare, of course, not I become saved all of a sudden. I'm placed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is placed in me and the Spirit and God himself. And then, of course, we are going to be soon glorified with him. Can you believe that? We're going to be glorified with him. Believers are in Christ and of course, Christ in them. So, we partake in all that the Lord Jesus does. We're going to rule with him. And we partake of all that he has. And then, of course, we partake. And this is, again, so awesome. All that he is. Because we are in Christ. We are in Christ. We died with him. We rose with him. We live with him. And that's what we declare when we're baptized. How? Does that happen? Well, it's all of God. Salvation is all of God. How am I placed in the Lord Jesus Christ? God does it. He has declared so. How am I declared to be a saint? God has done it. Amazing. So, we are in him and shall be in him, seated in heavenly places. God love me so much? Yes. Some people ask me about their loved one being sick and their loved one that has died and so on and so forth was so precious in their sight and so on. And the very first thing I'll tell them just as words of comfort. Oh, brother and sister, let me tell you something. It is so sad when we see suffering and death in this world. It's all because of sin. the wonderful thing that we have to think about is that God cares more for that person, loves more that person than we can ever, ever, ever imagine, and that we are ever capable of loving or caring for that person. God is love, and He loves. He loves. He's given us all things. Now, and then the other thing is, as I mentioned, we are sons of God as His sonship, as the sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sons. We are declared to be sons of God. That means we can own God as Father, as Father. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, pray to thy Father. Wow. God, my Creator, I pulled out all things by the word of His power, and now He says, you can pray to God as your Father. I could go to God in the vision as my Father much sooner when I could talk to my dad about the problem that I'm having. I didn't have the liberty to talk to my dad as I did to God, my Father. Lay myself before Him, Lord. I've come short today in this area, this area, this area. Forgive me. I would never declare that to my biological father. Your father knoweth what things you have need of. Wow. A lot of times we don't know what we need. The Lord does. And a lot of times He protects us from things that we don't even know about. Peter was going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ three times. We were hit three times with curses and swearing. I know not the man. Before he even thought about it, the Lord Jesus says, I have prayed for thee. God knows. He knew. God knows what we need before we do it, before we go through it. Before Peter could even think about anything like that. The Lord Jesus says, I have prayed for thee, and thy faith fail not. Oh, thank God for His prayer. And then, of course, the Lord says, be perfect as your Father is perfect. That should be our thing. To be perfect. To be perfect. And then He says, glorify that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to glorify. We need to have a wonderful testimony here on earth, a wonderful life that people would wonder and say, wow, this man or this lady so spiritually minded. And then you just point to God the Father who is able to do everything to them as He has done for you, and that He has bring you eternal life. Bring you eternal life. So, He goes on, and He says that as many as received Him, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave you the power to become the sons of God. Sons of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Following resurrection, and this is what I would like to touch on a little bit. Here's what he says. He expressed his own relation to God with theirs. And here's what he said. Now think about this. I ascend. He says, go to my brethren and say unto them. That's in John chapter 20, verse 17. I ascend unto my Father and your Father and unto my God. And your God. Are these words penetrating in our minds? I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Jesus says, my Father, and I say, my Father. There is a difference, and I want to just kind of spend a little time on this. God was the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, not by creation, as we are as men. You see, He, God, is our Father by creation, whether we like it or not. I tell people that God is our creation, and since He is our Creator, that is, and since He is our Creator, He upholds us by the word of His power, and He has power to do everything He wants with us. I am directly accountable to God, whether I like it or not. I tell that to sinners. And they can't answer it. I say, if you don't agree with me, take it up with God. If God is your Creator, if God is my Creator, then I'm accountable. I am accountable. I owe Him everything. Of course, we read also He's to give up life and breath and all things. And Daniel, before Belshazzar, he says, God, in whose hands your breath is, you have not glorified. So, God was not the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by creation, as we are, nor by adoption. And this is a wonderful word here, because as He is to the saints, and we are adopted. We are children of God by adoption when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord. Once we were alienated, once we were far, like the Pharisee was, not justified, and yet we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as this publican, God, the sinner, have mercy on me. Then all of a sudden, oh, we became sons by adoption. And nor with respect to the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ as man. Well, as man, He was actually, His body was prepared for Him before the foundation of the earth. He was certainly a man without sin. And yet, He says, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, and yet set apart, that He may be merciful and rightful Savior to us, in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted. So here the Lord Jesus Christ, even in incarnation, was different, because rest of the Father, God has taught us, in a different way than we could. So God was His Father by nature. There was an eternal oneness with God. Eternal oneness with God. His divine nature being begotten of God. God is one God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was fully God and fully man. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So His divine nature being begotten of God with all the fullness of the Father in Him. And that's amazing. We don't understand it, and yet we receive by faith. When people saw this lowly man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this carpenter, He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, inseparable, indivisible, and yet He was upholding all things by the word of His power, and yet He was just a common carpenter. Isn't He the carpenter's son? And from Galilee, what good? What person from Galilee could be any good? Well, you come and see. The Lord Jesus Christ. What humility. What humility. What humility. Divine nature, being begotten of God with all the fullness of the Father. And so His own proper Son, and God His own proper Father. He is the Son and substance in abiding power and peace. in Hebrews chapter 1, we see that he is the Son of God, spoken unto us in Son. He talks about him being the image of God, the very exact express image of the Godhead. And then he says, upholding all things by the word of his power. As Son of God, here on earth, he was upholding all things by the word of his power. When he has purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. When we talk about this meek and lowly Jesus suffering on our behalf, let's not forget that he was upholding all things by the word of his powers. He originates, he ordains the orbits and the planets, the comets. He governs them, guides them in their courses. When a solar eclipse, everything was under his control. He guides the courses through the space continually. No decree exists prior to his eternal counsel. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And yet, in virtue of the covenant of grace, here we are, that person who is the Godhead bodily would go and would give himself up to the tormentors, Pharisees, Herodians, it doesn't make any difference, evil human beings, to be put to death to satisfy all of God's demands concerning our sins. All of God's demands concerning our sins. God prepared in the body, he formed him, he anointed him, anointed the incarnate Son, supported him, glorified him in his human nature, sinless. He could stand before and he could say, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And he could say, which of you could condemn me of sin? We're sinless. But that the world may know. Why am I going to Calvary? But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And he tells his disciples, arise, let's go. Go where? Gethsemane. Gethsemane. God prepared. And of course, as man, Christ also prayed to God as his God. My God. My God. Why hast thou forsaken me? How much could God forsake his Son, his Holy Son, his obedient Son, upholding all things by the word of his power, so that he would bring this wicked man that he created back to himself and place man, a sinful man, in Christ, his Son. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, prayed to him as God, believed in him, loved and obeyed him as his Father and his God. And then, of course, our relationship, again, to God as our covenant God and Father is founded upon, of course, God being the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us of that. This morning, we remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in his death. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, he says, the cup, this cup, is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So what is it that we remember this morning? We remember his death. Well, why did we remember his death? Well, because the blood of Christ that was shed for the remission of our sins exhibited and also established in new administration, in new dispensation, a covenant of grace and mercy and peace. And Christ is the testator of that covenant. This covenant was ratified and confirmed by God because His Son's sacrifice was totally, fully acceptable to God the Father. So the blood was shed for the remission of sins, and the new covenant was founded on that. Without the shedding of God, the blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, we will be eternally, eternally in hell, suffering the torments of the blackness and darkness. That's prepared for the devil and his angels. So here we have being so close to God as He is. And then, of course, when He comes, we will be with Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not going to be secluded somewhere in some palace or something like that nobody could see. Or even, you know, like our parents, then nobody would be able to see Him, but maybe only once in a while some people may see Him. But we're going to be with Him forever and ever. And then, of course, we're going to be with His God and Father as ours. We're going to be able to, again, be with God the Father as we are with God the Son. And this is going to be for all eternity to come. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, what a wonderful privilege we have. In John 14, 20 says, "But that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Brothers and sisters, can we grasp the gravity of these verses? The gravity. "But that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." And then he goes on to say, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Here again, the apostles, in the epistles, this is in Romans 8. Born of God, we have to present indeed our bodies a living sacrifice. So we're the children of God. A lot of people ask me when I am witnessing to them, "Well, what denomination are you?" We just read, sons of God, in Christ Jesus, so close to God. We are as close to God as the Lord Jesus Christ himself is. What denomination was the Lord? Well, no denomination, but that's me. I'm just a believer. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior and Lord and saved by His grace. Well, what church building? What church building? We don't have a church building. We meet in a shopping center. Is a shopping center. I guess it is. Not department stores, but then in the offices and so on. But anyway. Church buildings. That's another thing that people go crazy. I was in Germany, and my nephew was going to get married to a German lady. And so we visited the church where the wedding was going to take place. I can't remember how old that building was. All I know is when we first went in there, it was dark. Of course, they didn't have the lights on. But and huge. And when I began to speak, when I began to talk, I could hear my echo. I mean, and a lot of people would be so impressed. Look at the building. What building? What building? flesh is making homes at times. Philemon, Aquila, and Priscilla, even homes here. With two or three gathered together in my name to undermine and deny in the midst of them. What church? We're all in Christ. Oh, what a wonderful relationship we have. Children, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. I'm going to stop. I have 1 minute to go. I'm going to stop because I'm not heading to be another message. Hopefully, by God's grace and love. Oh, what a wonderful privilege we have as Christians. We are with the Lord. He has not only done it all, but He is going to keep doing it. Keep doing it. Throughout eternity to come, we're going to be with Him. We're going to behold Him. Who died for me and saved me by His grace. And we say, our Father, we thank You and praise You for all Your goodness to us, all the blessings that follow salvation. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for all these described possessions that we enjoy, even here and now, having the assurance of every one that You have mentioned before us. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the Bible. We thank You for the apostles who just faithfully just recorded all the revelations that they have from You. The inspired word of God, so rich. We thank You and praise You. And we pray, Heavenly Father, our appreciation of You as God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will increase moment by moment.